Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that looks at current social, political, economic, prophetic events in the light of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. We've arrived at another Thanksgiving, and this means another God and Country program about the whole holiday. To begin with, Thanksgiving is a linchpin of the Christian faith, and gratitude is the linchpin of Satan's kingdom. The word linchpin has come to mean that which is important, that which is crucial. Originally, a linchpin was a pin that holds parts together, holds a wheel to its axle. A linchpin kept the caboose attached to the engine. And that's a good image, for with Thanksgiving comes respect and love for God. Gratitude opens the doors of heaven. It attaches and connects us to so many good things in our life. Ingratitude connects us to bitterness, resentment, rebellion, disobedience. In the Genesis fall, Satan tempted Adam and Eve to be ungrateful rather than being satisfied and thankful for what God had given to them in the garden. Satan made them ungrateful that God had prohibited the forbidden fruit. And the Apostle Paul's expose of how ancient cultures departed from God begins with Paul explaining it all started with ingratitude. Romans 1:21, even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened. First comes ingratitude. You think you're entitled to something. You get this attitude of entitlement. You look at all that you don't have and you blame others for what you lack. Then you become futile in your speculations and your foolish heart is darkened. Speculations, dialogismos in the Greek, means one's reasonings. When you have an attitude of ingratitude, you lose your ability to reason correctly because you see things through the wrong perspective, through the wrong worldview, through the wrong lens. It's like looking at everything through amber sunglasses. Everything looks amber. If you start off with the assumption that I'm being cheated, that I deserve more, you will find that under every bush, and you will think that you're being rational and just. But your underlying premise is wrong. This premise that you deserve more, that you deserve to take and not give, that life is about empowerment, not submission. And building on that foundation, your conclusions and your policies are going to be all wrong. Ancient Israel, in her apostasy, became extremely unthankful in regard to her history, in regard to God's dealings with her. They became ungrateful for the law of God. Even at the very inception, remember the wilderness wanderings? The Israelites were unthankful for the freedom they received to worship God. Exodus chapter 16, verse 2. The whole congregation of the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The sons of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Also, Numbers chapter 11, verse 1. Now the people became like those who complain of adversity in the hearing of the Lord. And when the Lord heard it, his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them. Now notice it's wrong to complain about a perceived absence of benefit, but it's also a sin to even complain about adversity, that which most people assume is an acceptable complaint. Now, part of the problem here for the Israelites was that they had ungodly priorities. They valued material well-being over their spiritual retreat with God in the wilderness. I mean, you can have your good food and your fine clothing and your comfort. I would love to give that all up just to have a time to camp out and worship God. But not this people. So they had wrong priorities. And those wrong priorities resulted in a lack of gratitude. There were people who saw the glass half empty rather than half full. And are there people like that today, especially on the left? Absolutely. The conservative commentator Dennis Prager recently wrote a very astute piece entitled, "Your Past is Terrible, Your Future is Terrible, What the Left Tells Young Americans." Quote, "The American past is a story of genocide, slavery, racism, patriarchy, and colonialism, and you should be ashamed of it. As regards to your future, your very existence is in jeopardy. You may well die at a young age unless society completely shifts off of fossil fuels. If you're a girl, you should know that American society has a contempt for you. You'll be paid less than a man for the exact same work. If you are young and black, the most important thing for you to know is that this country loathes you. That racism is a part of the DNA of our country. If you're a young Latino, you're to know that the white majority is xenophobic. And if they could, they would expel you from the country. If you're a white male, you're the recipient of unearned privilege and you're a racist. Boys and girls, you need to know from as young an age as possible that there is actually no such thing as boys and girls. And young people should know that there's no God. So don't look to God or religion for meaning. Therefore, emotionally handicapped and intellectual lightweights, for meaning, look to social action. Christianity, the religion of the great majority of Americans since America's founding, the religion of nearly all your parents or grandparents, justified slavery, slaughtered Native Americans, and persecuted the gays. And in our time, most people who call themselves believing Christians are bigots and hypocrites. Whatever good was achieved was done so by believers with secular enlightenment values, not Judeo-Christian values. And Islam, on the other hand, has always been the religion of peace. Western civilization is nothing for you to be proud of. It is neither culturally nor morally superior to any other civilization or culture. And in many ways, it's worse. It's largely a record of persecution and genocide. And that's why you will no longer celebrate Columbus Day, but rather Indigenous People Day." Unquote, Dennis Prager's satire. Prager's comments really do sum up the attitude of the left, the ideological teaching that's being pushed. But you have to ask the question, why? Why do they complain so much about America's past and present and future? I think much of this is subconscious, out of a deep-seated hatred for Christian values and the Christian culture. But on a political level, if you want to change something, if you want to overthrow something, you first have to criticize and denigrate it. You can't get people to fundamentally change America unless you convince them that the status quo is evil. The academic Marxists in American universities who developed critical theory and the deconstruction of Western values did so in order to build the case that the American Constitution should be replaced with communism. You can even hear this in Bernie Sanders' speeches. He says we need to see the magnitude of the crisis. And then he goes on to complain about all of the economic deprivation and the racial injustice in America. Now, you wouldn't think this is true. I mean, the economy's doing fine. We're the wealthiest people in the history of the world. We have so many opportunities. But young people and millennials keep hearing how bad things are, and they soon believe that it's true. It's almost like a comic scene in a movie, where a political agitator is standing up on a soapbox, telling all of his listeners how terrible things are. And then, you know, as he's speaking, the hard hat workers who are listening to him begin to nod their head. And they begin whispering to themselves, "Yeah, I never thought of that before, but now that you bring it up, I'm being cheated. Life is miserable. I mean, why do I even have to work for a living?" As it says in the book of Jude, these agitators are fault finders, following after their own lusts. And again, when you want to change something, you have to criticize it. When you want to get power for yourself, you have to find fault with the power structures that be. You have to make people ungrateful in order to get them to rebel. Back to Genesis chapter 3, Satan had to make Eve ungrateful before he could get her to take of the forbidden fruit. And when David's son Absalom wanted to take the throne of Israel for himself and throw his father off the throne, what did he do? Well, he stood at the gate alleging that the current system is unfair, so you need to make him the king. 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 2. Absalom used to rise early and stand beside the way to the gate. And when any man had a suit to come to the king for judgment, Absalom would call to him and say, "See, your claims are good and right, but no man listens to you on the part of the king. Oh, that one would appoint me judge in the land. I would give him justice." And it's a fraud, but people fall for it. Because they're always trying to find a way out of the curse, that we need to work by the sweat of our brow. And hucksters always come along promising freedom from that which is just a part of life. Accountability, responsibility, and just good old-fashioned work. So let's not be naive. Understand that the whole current ideology of the left is to make you ungrateful. To make you think that you're a victim, that other people are out to oppress you by their business and their labors. And they're not. You know, the left wants people to view the world as all about the oppressed versus the oppressor. That every institution, every value has been created by the powerful just to keep you down. And they're selling this as the way to view everything so that they can discredit traditional American Christian values, the very values they want to overthrow. You know, the new slogan for the left is being woke. And the lie there is that you've been asleep to the nature of things and that you're finally waking up and seeing how everything is about the powerful trying to keep you down. Satan worked on trying to get Eve woke. And what she probably thought was having her eyes opened was actually Satan blinding her eyes. You know, this is really spreading. The deconstruction of American values just used to be relegated to Marxist college classes. But now this is being pushed in high school. What's being called ethnic studies, where students are taught all the alleged evils of Western culture, and they actually hold mock trials against Western cultures. And again, why? In order to discredit the traditional Christian values to justify the overturning of Christian law and Christian freedoms. In order to create a new world order, the old must be depicted as evil. And these are just signs of the times. This is preparing the world to embrace the Antichrist, who, as it's prophesied in Daniel chapter 7, will speak out against the Most High and wear down the saints of the High One and will intend to make alterations in times and laws. This oppression worldview, this philosophical ingratitude, has to be demonic in origin. As Paul calls it, the doctrine of demons. I mean, it's the same lie Satan used back in Genesis chapter 3. It's just now repackaged for modern man. And it's just so well developed and promoted today. It really does have the fingerprint of Satan on it. I just don't think people are smart enough and creative enough to coordinate this kind of movement on their own. I mean, this is a philosophy that is actually hypnotizing people. This is the spirit of the Antichrist that's now already in the world. 1 John 4:3. So please be aware and just watch out for the political, social, academic, philosophical application of ingratitude, which results in spiritual rebellion. And keep in mind that even as a Christian, Satan is also going to tempt you with these lies. He's going to shoot his fiery darts at you. And so it's very easy to be influenced by this leftist worldview, but you have to keep your head on straight and you have to stay grounded in the Word of God. Take up the full armor of God so that you'll be able to resist in the evil day and having done everything to stand firm. So as we are coming upon Thanksgiving, While we're rejoicing in our country and our history and in the providence of God, the world and many evil actors are cursing these things. One final example. You should be aware of the New York Times 1619 Project, a series of editorial articles in the New York Times promoting the America is an evil racist country narrative. From the New York Times itself, quote, "The 1619 Project is a major initiative from the New York Times observing the 400th anniversary of the beginning of American slavery. It aims to reframe the country's history, understanding 1611 as the true founding and placing the consequences of slavery and the contribution of Black Americans at the very center of the story we tell ourselves about who we are." So the 1619 Project is claiming that America needs to be defined not by 1776 and the Constitution, but by the first slave ship coming to America in 1619. And the New York Times encourages public schools to adopt an accompanying 1619 Project curriculum in order to spread this message to young people. Now, this narrative is not the fringe. This is thoroughly embraced by the political left, particularly the Democratic Party. Beto O'Rourke recently said in an interview, "The foundation of this country is an extraordinarily brutal one. I think of Nicole Hannah-Jones and the 1619 Project. The case that she makes has persuaded me. You mark the foundation of America not on the 4th of July, 1776, but the 20th of August, 1619. The first time someone was kidnapped from West Africa, brought here against their will, made to build the wealth and the success, the greatness of America, which neither they nor their descendants alive today are able to fully participate in. And we know that from any way we can cut or measure it, there is 10 times the wealth in white America than there is in Black America." Let's break down each of these claims made by Beto. These claims are taken as gospel truth, but they are just speculations and opinions based upon a certain worldview. First claim is that the foundation of this country is extraordinarily brutal. Well, it all depends what you consider the foundation of this country. Did slave traders found this country? We didn't see any Jamestown slave ship captains at the Constitutional Convention. And it's well known and it's documented fact that the founders of America wanted to do away with slavery. But they knew they couldn't do it just yet if they wanted to unite the country. Now, it would take a whole program to go into all of the quotes from the founders in regard to their opposition to slavery, but let me just read one piece from an article in City Journal entitled 1776, not 1619. America's founding was not defined by slavery and white supremacy, quite to the contrary. To make America's founding contemptible, one must hide, ignore, and distort the founders' writings and thoughts. Irresponsibly omitted from this narrative is the fact that not a single major founder endorsed slavery. On the contrary, the founders unambiguously saw slavery as an evil. George Washington said, "There is not a man living who wishes more sincerely than I do to see a plan adopted for the abolishing of it." And Thomas Jefferson's original draft of the Declaration of Independence calls the slave trade an affront against human nature itself. Governor Morris called slavery a nefarious institution and the curse of heaven. And John Jay said, "It is much to be wished that slavery may be abolished. To contend for our own liberty and to deny that blessing to others involves an inconsistency not to be excused." Franklin, Madison, Adams, Hamilton spoke strongly against the institution of slavery. Unquote, City Journal, Arthur Millick. You know, the history of the United States from its very inception is a fighting against the old European economic system of slavery. But what does the left want to do? They want to depict America as fundamentally racist and corrupt, and we know why. Now back to this claim that Jamestown and slavery is the founding of America. Every country in every age has evil actors. But does it define a country if a country has murderers, kidnappers, thieves? Well, maybe, if those people were the founders. If you read old American history books, most of which give a Christian perspective, Jamestown was considered a blight on the American experience. Because the settlers at Jamestown came for a quick buck, rather than the Plymouth Colony in Massachusetts, where the Puritans came for evangelism and religious freedom. The Jamestown colony failed and collapsed. It disappeared off the map, and therefore Jamestown was never really associated with the founding of America. The Plymouth Colony considered it the graves of the greedy. Beto goes on to claim, I think of Nicole Hannah James and the 1619 Project, the case that she makes has persuaded me. This is just a reminder of how powerful a lie can be when we don't hear the other side of the story, the truth. The third statement of Beto is this leftist assumption, quote, that the slaves built the wealth and success and the greatness of America, which neither they nor their descendants alive are able to fully participate in. Well, wait a minute. Even Nicole Hannah Jones of the 1619 Project had a free public school education and a degree from Notre Dame and a master's degree from NC State. How is she not participating in the wealth and the success and the greatness of America? And this is a hard thing to admit, but the fact is that slavery is one of the most inefficient, wasteful means of wealth production. Slavery as an economic system kept the South very poor. And at the time of the Civil War, the economy in the North, without slavery, was an industrial powerhouse. The South only had 10% of the nation's manufacturing. And the truth is that the slaves were abused, their labor was wasted, and unfortunately, they were kept from building America's wealth. Most of their work went up in smoke, tobacco smoke. And fourth, Beto says, we know that from any way we cut or measure it, there is 10 times the wealth in white America than there is in black America. Well, sure, there is income disparity across many different classes of people. The error is to assume that the only cause for income disparity is institutional racism in America. The Christian view is that moral character is the main factor in wealth creation. Moral character is so powerful that it not only overcomes persecution or racism, it causes those obstacles to actually become stepping stones. So, by way of conclusion, there are just many lies in this world based upon people's wrong perspectives. And these are wrong perspectives built upon the attitude of ingratitude. Romans 1:21, for even though they knew God, they didn't honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened. So if you want to have God's blessing on your life, if you want to have real success, start thanking God for all you have and for all you don't have, and begin to live a life of obedience to all that the Word of God says. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The radio website to listen to this program again or other past programs is godandcountryradio.org. May God fill you with all joy as you get together with family and friends to celebrate God's blessing upon this land. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, we give thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have received grace upon grace. In his name we pray. Amen.